Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have with me your other hostess, Hanako.
Hello.
And your host, Eric.
Hello.
And your other host, Coral.
Hello.
And today we're fresh off of the second episode of Fear the Walking Dead, the Sci-Fi Party Line in the dark. And we're just going to do it. Because I cannot hide my disdain for the show. I hate this show very much. It's a pain to watch. I want all of the characters to die because they're stupid. Negative Nancy.
I'm just laughing because after this episode, I kind of sort of halfway agree with you.
Ooh, yes.
What are these people doing? I don't know. Let's start with Eric. What do you have to say? Let's start
this
with
is
him.
His favorite show.
Wait, why start with me?
The
obvious reason is because Eric, you are contrary to what we are going to say.
Oh, so
we.
I did not know that. I want to hear what all the grievances.
No, okay. We don't have to.
I'm confused.
Ready. We are ready because Eric, you've got the positive spin on it. To you, this is the best episode of the series, right?
Well. I can't even remember. Did we do the first episode of Fear on this podcast already?
Yes. No. Yes. Didn't we do it last week or did we? No, we did not.
You didn't tell me. I didn't. So
I don't think we did. I think
we're doing both tonight.
Let's do both tonight. Sorry, listeners. We're unorganized as usual. I mean, you know this already. You know us. Okay. So this is the second season. Somehow this freaking show got a second season after the first one. And we're being forced to watch it by Eric. And and then somehow they're on a boat. And they're on a boat doing the dumbest crap in the zombie apocalypse. Like, okay, so your mother's dead. You kill her. She got shot, in the head or something? And they brought her body on board. Her body that's been dead for a day. On board with them on the boat, and she looked just as clean as ever, no head wound, nothing. And
she had a head wound,
but it wasn't bleeding all over. It should have been a little bit more messier, is what.
No, maybe. They shot from the front, it exited out the back. Her head was fairly, she was fairly.
When he kissed her and stuff, I didn't see anything, it was no blood on her face or anything.
No, there wasn't. Really correct. There wasn't any blood on her face. This is correct.
So it's when they shot her in the side of the back, head or something?
As Hanako just said, she was shot in the front of the cranium. So all the disgustingness
the
was out the back.
I didn't see
the hole. Yeah, it was there.
The hole. Yes, I saw the hole.
Okay, well, whatever. I think it was really stupid for them to bring her on board.
Do you remember why they brought her? I mean, yes, granted, not a good idea, but do you remember why they brought her
because
on board?
Because her son was being a whiny bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you?
I know Kat would just go in.
I would cry. Y'all would have to carry me off, but I don't want a dead body on the boat.
Well, I guess it's more about a respect thing. They didn't want her body being there devoured by the infected. It's not any different from The Walking Dead.
So she's just going to be sleeping with the fishes now.
Well, I mean, hey, they do burial at sea all the time. Walkers won't get her. But I mean, it's no different from what Daryl and them did for Denise on The Walking Dead. They went back and got her body and buried her. So. And they've done that.
Thanks for pointing out the double standard.
Whatever.
I don't know why The Walking Dead gets so many passes all of a sudden, and then Fear is like,
that's
we have
because
to
we're
just
talking about Fear of the Walking Dead. That wasn't a pass. I didn't care about. I don't remember Denise's burial or whatever. What I do remember is that they were being overrun by zombies, And I kind of maybe if and, they were gonna if we were gonna bring her on board, I kind of wanted to see the struggle. All I know is that Zombie's on board. Let's go. I'm not leaving without her. Boom. She's nicely wrapped on the boat, and we're gonna have a pout fest at her burial at sea.
Wow. Okay. Send in your tweets to Kat.
Okay, I guess I'm alone and being annoyed. I guess I'm alone and being annoyed by that. After you're
again,
gone,
I don't think
gone.
It was a good decision, but there was reasons why it happened.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Travis didn't really want to have a negotiation with his son, and he also didn't want to sacrifice his son, so it just seemed like the easiest thing to do in the moment.
Jesus. I mean, because the son was in shock. I mean, first of all, he didn't even know his mother had been infected. It's like 1 minute she's in the house, she's telling him that she's glad they got out, and she kisses him and says she loves him, and then the next minute he knows she's dead. So obviously, and he's only 14 in the show, so he's in shock. So, you know, kind of like Eric said, I guess, you know, if you have a choice of either leaving the body behind and trying to deal with your difficult son who may try to break apart, run away, whatever, or you have to bring the body aboard just to get your son aboard, then you go with the lesser of two evils. Is it a stupid decision? Yeah, because they probably could have gotten more food and more supplies on the boat if they had had the room and the time and the hands, but it was an emotional decision. So
punch the son, knock him out, put him in a sleeper, choker hold, carry him instead of the dead body and like a pack of water and a bale of food.
Just to do a B.A. Baracus on them. That's I'm serious. Tommy? That is all you need. They were on the shore already when they shot her in the head, and that was going to be it. There's your place for ceremony right there. I mean, they weren't talking about leaving her on the beach with a fork and a knife. They were right there on the water. They could have just had a little ceremony and pushed her in. That would have been.
I don't know what the time frame is as far as from the time she got shot.
I can tell you one time frame. At the shortest, it was about 3-4 hours because it's nighttime. And somehow, they managed to get the skiff all the way out there. That's the other thing that really bothered me. With the season finale, there's that big, dramatic, long shot where we see the boat. We start with them on the beach. And they're like, oh, we're going to get Abigail. All right, boom. And then they pan out. And we're going out over the ocean. We're going out over the ocean. Still going out over the ocean. All the way out. So we can get them and Abigail in the shot. Something about that shot was supposed to imply the boat is a long way away. Never mind the fact, how did that boat stay functioning all of this time when Strand's been in jail and locked up? And the boat is fine somehow out there all this time within eyeshot of the coast. You can see it from the way, but that's all right. The whole summer, I'm sitting there going, man, how are they going to get all the way out to the boat in a reasonable amount of time? That's a long way. Clearly, this is going to be a really exciting thing of them trying to somehow get to that boat. First 20 seconds, they got the inflatable out there. They're already docked with the boat. They're sending, what's his name, back to get the rest of the crew. There was no drama about getting to the boat that was way out there. That's something I had been waiting for the whole summer. But no, okay, fine. We're not going to do that. Now we're dealing with Mom. We've lugged her from the coast back across the sand. Now we're waiting for them. One of the big things that really bothers me about Fear of the Walking Dead is there seems to be this convenience of everything. Just like, when you watch in The Walking Dead, I kind of relate to the people and the decisions that they're making and what they're doing and the struggles that they have. Stuff doesn't really feel laid out in front of them step by step, right? There's so many examples of where something that makes no sense, something that Nick just happens upon, becomes the critical element in the next part of the story.
Oh,
it happens.
Oh my God, Captain's Log.
No, I'm not even going to start with that yet. So I'm just going to go with, as they're about to attack. Okay, so they throw Mom in the boat now. They've gone back to the coast. Everybody's piling in a little inflatable, and they're getting ready to leave. And the zombie is about to attack them. Gee,
what weapon can we use to stop the zombie who's about to get on the back of the boat? Well, we've got rocks. We could just simply sail away. No, why don't we just pull the boat propeller out? Because, of course, that is the most rational weapon to use at this particular... Fortunately, the zombie has lined himself up perfectly with the back of the boat and then bends his head down for no reason. So Nick can just lift up the engine for dramatics. It was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous.
But you wanted to see it, didn't you? You wanted to see that zombie.
I so saw it coming. I was like, that would just be, I don't even want to. Oh, no, not the propeller. Here comes the propeller. God. And of course, by the way, Travis, you know, Pop Travis falls off the side of the boat at just the right point. They're in 2 feet of water. What? They have loaded an entire mom into the boat. Somehow Travis can't get on the boat now when the zombies are. It was
tires. Are they all high? I mean,
it really, what? There's too much convenient stuff going on.
It's
that just does not make sense.
And then when did Travis,
though, something about it must work because they only had one episode into this season so far, and they've already been renewed for season 3.
That's because we're watching it out of habit and because people like Eric and yourself, ma'am, are forcing us to watch this madness. And we have to watch it out of, I don't know, because everybody else is. This is a hate watch. Get this. Do not be mistaken. This is hate watch. Okay, sorry.
It's a public service. It's a public service for folks who are going, you know, maybe I should try The Walking Dead.
Don't do
the
it.
Fear of The Walking Dead. Because it's going to be just like The Walking Dead, so it's just more of it.
No, it's just like The Walking Dead, but in water, and then like out in the desert, and then probably like out in space, and then you never know. I'm in a tunnel underground, they hinted at that.
I'll put it out again. When I watch The Walking Dead, there is a certain adventure quality to it, where when you're watching the people, you see them trying to get out of situations. And I admit, some of them are a little bit unbelievable. But the situations they find themselves in rarely are because they have made irrationally dumb decisions. It is just, you know, it's something's in the well. Okay, well, we're going to have to deal with this. You know, it's always something like that in The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead, it's always, hey, I hear something behind this wall here. I'm going to go that way with flip-flops on, and I'll be right back. No, you don't want me to go? Okay, send the 5-year-old out there to explore it, and then report back with your crayons. It is always something so ridiculously irrational, and they go, oh, yeah, we'll go on and let us know how that turns out. The whole first season was like that, and I was like, come on, it's got to get better. It can't continue like this. And it is continuing. This stuff is still going on.
Like, can you explain to me, Eric, how it is good that after what's-his-face pitches a fit and his dad gave a great kind of eulogy or whatever, he ditches his mom overboard, throws a
fit. Totally defeats the purpose of like, the respect that we're supposed to be showing this whole time.
What was it for? What was it? Why did we even have to suffer seeing her body on board if you were just going to... Okay, fine. Nope, I'm going to calm down. I'm calming down.
Eric has an answer.
No. I'm not finished yet. Why, if you're going to do that, then you're going to have, everybody's going to have a nice little feast. You walk out in your little hoodie looking like, oh my God, you know, sip the juice. I got enough to go around. And then go for a swim, fully clothed.
I wasn't even going to start with that yet. It was too easy to go with that one.
Fully clothed this guy. And then Nick, is his name Nick? Whatever, drug guy, goes in after him. And they're just like, oh, look at us. We're going for a swim. And I'm like, are you kidding? Is this happening right now? Because you got to be kidding me. And then he's like, oh, I hear something. I hear somebody, maybe. Somebody's alive. We must help everyone.
Well, hang on. That was before the water ballet with the zombie. Don't forget that scene.
The water ballet? Oh, my God. Really?
Chilling on the bottom of the pool, looking up when the zombie floats by and goes, you know what? He needs a hug. I'm going to go over there and just grab the zombie underwater and see how that goes. Let's see how that goes.
So they have, like, this ridiculous fight with a floating zombie. They call them floaters, by the way. per the talking deck. And I'm like, you know what? That's not what you should be calling. I think floaters is a name for something else, not zombies.
No, it's getting appropriate. I'm starting to think. That's kind of working now. That's making sense.
Okay.
So, do you want to give them a chance to answer?
I guess so. They have just totally shut down Hanako and Eric. They are like, what can happen, right? Okay, so I'm going to zip it. I'm even going to put myself on mute to not even to go there. So
you don't have to do that, Kat, because then we won't be able to hear you going, oh, my God. So you leave the mic on.
Okay, at least give them a chance. Right, I'm going to zip it for right now, but damn it, my blood pressure is high. I need a drink. Go ahead, God. Oh, nothing to say? Eric and Hanako.
Eric was partaking of his beverage. He's ready now. He is not parched. He is ready to dive in with a defense of everything that we have seen and stated so far. Hit it.
Did you guys see the Walking Dead finale that was on the week before?
No. Indeed.
Yes, I believe we had a show about that.
And you guys were cool with it?
No. I believe we had complaints about how stupid it was.
Yeah. Well,
it was frustrating, but go on.
Well, this premiere of Fear the Walking Dead was a breath of fresh air, especially coming off of that finale. Let me tell you what.
Are you still drinking over there?
He has to try to polish this freaking turd.
No, there's real talk. There's like a weird connection issue. So sometimes, especially Kat or Carly, you guys drop out on my ears. So then I have to like pause and hear if I'm still on the line.
We're here. Go on.
No, it was a breath of fresh air. It was decent. It was decent. One thing I like a lot about Fear the Walking Dead in general is that unlike the Walking Dead TV show, there's all these people, and we kind of talked about it already, there's all these people on the Walking Dead show that it's almost like they have, what is it called on Survivor? Immunity? There's too many characters because they, especially the ones who have been around since season one, that like basically have immunity on the show. And one of the things I find more exciting about Fear is that you don't really feel that way about anyone, hardly, on the entire cast.
No one.
And I like that, because it adds a lot more unpredictability to what's going to happen. And also, because you haven't been following these same characters for 4 or 5 years, it's okay if whoever gets killed. So I can take this show in with a much lighter feel, much more fancy-free kind of feeling, my personal self. So it's so much more relaxing. It's so much more entertaining. And when some of the really ridiculous stuff happens, like a lot of things you guys were just railing about, like killing them with the propeller and all that jazz, I was laughing my ass off. Like, it was hilarious. It was ridiculous. And it was fun. And because I'm not scared of Michonne getting killed or Daryl or anyone else, not that I actually am, but if I was, it's like, who cares? It's almost like a romp. I don't want to call it a romp, but compared to The Walking Dead, it is like a romp. And so a lot of times when they say the ridiculous things and when everyone else is shaking their head, I have a big smile on my face. Like, it's a really jolly show. And I never thought I would ever get a version of The Walking Dead that I could think of in that way.
You are literally crazy.
No! What are you talking about?
You are crazy. No, I think you are insane. You need to go to therapy. Because what? Both of you people are...
No, I want to hear.
Okay, all right.
The Walking Dead, the main show, is rarely this fun. Like, there were times, I mean, maybe if I sat down and looked at all the old episodes of the original Walking Dead, maybe I could find something fun here and there. But, man, like, enjoy this ride is how I feel right now.
It doesn't feel fun. I don't understand the fun.
We talked about it in season one of Fear. And, yeah, the first 4 episodes, it was kind of like, for me personally, hit or miss. But once we got to those last two, it started getting really fun. And I feel like it's continued now for me with season two. And I couldn't be more delighted. It's great. It's great. And there's that. But then there's still the open-endedness of it and all these little hints and clues and mysteries about what's going on. About, is that other ship out there? What's going on with that? And then I don't know when we're going to start talking about episode two, but more stuff there. I mean, I don't know. What hate for it? Yeah, there are little bits of illogic, and there's certainly elements of convenience. I'm not going to deny that at all.
Elements?
Mm. Yes, elements. But it's good times. I mean, who's taking it that serious?
Okay.
Hanako didn't get to go.
Okay, go ahead, Hanako. Mm.
No, I was going to say there are some aspects of it that I agree with Eric on. The fact that I don't, because I'm not hugely invested in these characters as we are on the main show, I can kind of look at things a little more lightheartedly. I also found the propeller death hilarious.
with you, people.
At the same time, I do.
The zombie bent over, people. It leaned into the blade. For God's sake.
Let her finish.
And that's okay. It was walking towards the light.
But, oh my God, Hanako.
But no, seriously. There are certain aspects. One of the things that seems to have rolled over into the second season from the first is that these characters don't make the best decisions, and they act supremely naive. I mean, you have physical evidence that, excuse me, that the world is pretty much ending around you. You've got zombies. You've got evidence of, you know, people bombing boats. You've got people giving you warnings about what to do and not to do. And as characters, some of them still make stupid decisions. Alicia is one. Why are you talking on a radio with somebody you don't know and giving them vital information? If they were going to have her character be this dumb on the show, they could have killed her off here and kept her on the 100. I mean, you know.
I mean, it's like she's doing analog AOL chat, for crying out loud. And I mean, it's miserable.
Teenagers, I understand they're teens. They're not necessarily thinking.
I got plenty more to say about the radio, but go on.
I mean, this is one of the things about Chris also that I understand. He is a kid. He was already an angry kid before everything started going down. He already had a rocky relationship with his dad. He was already fairly angry. So for him to react the way that he did on the island, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, you have the parent that you pretty much, I think we can all agree, he loved his mother most. And for her to be the one to be taken and him stuck with his father, who happened to be the one who did the taking, yeah, he's going to be angry. He's going to make stupid decisions. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be pissed off. I mean, the whole thing with pushing his mom overboard, he was pissed because his dad was saying nice things about his mom. And it's like, you know, it's kind of one of those kid things where you don't get to, you know, you don't get to say this. You don't get to feel like you're sad. You're the one who killed her. You're the, you know, it's just one of those things.
It's
where
so
he's
typical, though.
Is it?
It is, but that's the thing. It's supposed to be is typical. It? They are still people in this world. They're still trying to get used.
Yeah, I got something to say
the
about
world
that.
That's changing too. Around them. So his actions don't surprise me much. I will say this. I'm very surprised that Strand did not leave them on the island in this episode. I'm still not sure what his motivations are, what his true nature is, but he kind of shocked me that he didn't leave them.
Well, remember, Diego was hanging out with him.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's he was watching him like a hawk.
I'm almost shocked Diego didn't say, hey, let's go ahead and leave them.
Well, let me tell you, the only two people that are acting with any sense are Strand and Diego. So if they had bonded together at that point and said, screw it, we're out, I would have been cheering. Then I would have been thinking this is a romp. I would have thought that was hilarious if they just sat out right there. Like, leave him a dinghy. We out. You know, we out.
Because he had his daughter on board.
No, I don't think he can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, I think.
Let me say something else about the.
Go ahead.
The funeral and the radio. The funeral, something that just occurred to me right now, listening to Hanako. What's interesting about that scene and how it all plays out, it's interesting to contrast that and what happened there with what happened with Carl and his mother in The Walking Dead. And it's so interesting to think about how Carl was younger, but of course he was already more used to the world they were living in. And he, in their situation, Carl actually killed his own mother. And, right. and it's interesting to see the flip side here with a kid who's actually even older, but is having more difficulty dealing with it. That's just something fun to think about.
Less mature than Carl.
Yes. And by the way, this is an example of why it's fun to read all The Walking Dead as you watch it, because this type of comparison I just made between this kid and Carl, this happens all the time if you've read the comic with the main show. And then another thing that's interesting, but it's going to be lost on all you guys here since you haven't read it. They did it again, but I don't know. A lot of times they say that this stuff happens by coincidence. They being the makers and producers of the shows of The Walking Dead and then this show, I guess. They often say that these things are coincidences and it just kind of just happens. But these coincidences happen a lot, which is if you are very caught up, like I'm talking the last two most recent issues of The Walking Dead comic, all that business with the radio, I was like, what in the world is happening? Like, it's weird. But it's hard to get into without getting into spoilers, I guess, for The Walking Dead. But it's more of that weird mirror universe stuff. And
you're not really explaining what you're talking about.
Well, because I'm dancing around spoilers. So, but the whole thing...
I haven't seen it, so am I trying to put...
You haven't read it, is what you meant.
You haven't read it.
No, I haven't read it. But what I'm asking is, are you saying that something that is happening in Fear of the Walking Dead is going on in the comic book of The Walking Dead?
What was happening with her and the radio and what you guys were just opining about concerning those scenes in that episode, it's like another like Mirror Darkly version of what is happening right now, like in the most recent issues of the comic. And so when I was watching the show Fear the Walking Dead, I was like, OMG, what is happening right here? Like, this is so crazy. Like, if I hadn't read the comic, I would just be thinking like, you guys, this is so dumb. But when you read The Walking Dead comic, you're just wondering what's going on here. Like, what's going to be the twist, or how is this related, or is it? It's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. This is why I tell people read the comic.
Yeah. No. I don't have time like that. I don't have time like that.
I know. You don't have 8 hours.
Yeah. I don't. I literally don't. I'm trying to graduate. Okay, so first of all, you know what? If I have to read supplemental material to be excited about your show,
you don't have to, but it adds richness. It adds a lot of richness.
I don't care, because Fear the Walking Dead, I mean, there's just so much. It's not, I get what you guys say about the rompness of Fear the Walking Dead, but I don't think it goes far enough, because these characters aren't dying fast enough and they're not being replaced. Now, if they were killing these people off fast and they were just bringing in like a regular group cast of character, just keep cycling them in and out, I would be happy. But these particular characters...
I think that's going to happen for sure. You know it
is.
It's
not happening fast enough.
Yeah, it's not happening right away.
It's not
happening
fast because
it's
not one of those characters that I'm invested in. I hate them all. The only thing that I'm interested in is what Hanako brought up, and Strand got interesting because he has a phone that works and he's calling somebody in Mexico and something's going to happen. And then I saw maybe on a preview commercial or something that Diego took his gun and like, we don't need you anymore, Strand. And so he's going to get like, what do you call that when like you're in a car and somebody has a gun and they like get out of your car? What is that called? Boat jacking. Right. That's going to happen. So I'm excited about that. If you didn't see the preview, sorry, blah, blah, blah. But, I'm not even excited about Strand. Every time I look at him, I'm like, he is a fake-ass aquatic Idris Elba to me right now, and I don't really care
aquatic
about
Idris Elba.
Yeah, and these characters are so stupid. I want them all to die. I mean, they had the bit of the stressful tease at the kid with the kids and the on the beach at the beginning, and you're like, oh my god, why are these zombies coming and these kids are just playing on the beach?
And can I just add one little thing, because at the beginning of this episode I was trying to keep an open mind, still I'm still trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I realized early on that what seems to happen is the worst possible decisions at every point get made and people just run with it, and that bothered me. So as this episode began, I watched that scene, and I saw the kids sitting out there, and I saw the zombies coming toward them. And I said, I hadn't seen the episode yet. I had no idea what was happening. I said, okay, now that kid's got a slingshot. He's bad. He's going to be taking a zombie out. But the worst possible thing, I mean, if I really wanted to play this scenario out, the worst possible, the dumbest possible thing they could do at this moment is to roll over there and offer the zombies some tea. But there's no way that's going to happen, right? I mean, it's not going to play tea with zombies coming up. Then the gate shows up, like, oh, well, okay, there's a gate. I guess they're going to be... And then they carry the tea set over and put it down in front of the zombies and skip away. I said, this is making... For you guys, you guys use this term. You guys keep using this term romp, okay? Now, that implies joy or fun at some point. Now and seriously, though, because when I think of romp, I'm thinking of, you know, more of a playful bit, like if somebody had
Three's
a chainsaw
company,
hand. That's a romp. But here's the problem now. Not only are they making the worst possible, the dumbest decisions at every turn, all of these decisions seem to be motivated by pain. Okay, there's nothing funny going on in this series. There's nothing rompy or lighthearted. Every bad decision that they are making is compounded by some kind of pain by one or more of the characters. How is that enjoyable? I'm trying to make it through this, and I'm trying to sit there and go, okay, I'm going to see what they're doing, where this is going to go. There's got to be an arc or crescendo that makes sense out of this. But every dumb decision that has to do with drug abuse or loss or you know, some kind of teenage angst wrapped around, where is the romp joy? Okay, I mean, it's clear people are making dumb decisions, but even when I watch old, like, slasher films, like when I'm watching Halloween and I'm cheering for the bad guy to get him and stuff, you know, they fall down because, you know, they're running too slow in high heels. That's romp. That's fun. That's, I don't get all wrapped up in Jamie Lee Curtis's family life before she falls down, and then I gotta figure out, is the monster, it's just, where's the romp? You guys keep saying that, but I don't
let
see the
explain,
joy
Carl, anymore. Let them explain.
I mean for me I
won't say it's enjoyable. I mean I agree with you in some of that, Carl. It's like every decision is, you know, again, they're not making good decisions. They're making decisions based off emotion. They're really not thinking things through. And again, of course, at this point in what they're dealing with, there is no joy to be found. I mean, the world literally just fell at their feet. At least with our group on The Walking Dead on the main series, they've been in this for a few years. So when they can find a couple of lighthearted moments, they take it. There's nothing that's been lighthearted for them on Fear, because we are dealing with the very start of the zombie apocalypse. They're still trying to take in the fact that this thing is a reality. And, you know, just as we found out in this episode that aired tonight, they're finding out just how widespread this is. They thought it was just contained to L.A., so now they're finding out it's all up and down the coast, and it's going through half of the country, and that's just what they know. They also know it's already in Canada. They know that they can't go to Mexico, or that Mexico has closed their borders. So right now there is nothing to be joyous about. There's nothing to be funny or light.
Mexico closed their borders.
And,
but the problem, you know, is it's been a whole season and two episodes of this, though. I mean
eight episodes.
Yeah, a season and two episodes.
I know, but
no joy.
Not even one season.
You have to think about it still. We are only dealing with a 3 to 4 week time span on this show. it's only been a few weeks since the start of the zombie apocalypse.
Feels like a year of misery.
It does, because it's taking just that long for us. But there's nothing for them to be happy about. Yeah, they got away from LA before it got bombed.
No. I guess we're not talking about maybe their happiness, but your joy, your romping.
I don't
think
it's a show about the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. I'm not looking for. I'm not watching it to feel joy. I'm watching it to see how the story moves. Seriously, I'm watching it to see how the story moves forward, to see how it gets from there to where we are with The Walking Dead. Like, how do you get from the beginning to where we came in with Rick Grimes?
Insightful at any point? Because what was insightful?
No, I mean, this is just interesting, like, hearing what all the military was doing, how the military was basically firebombing, like, urban areas. I mean, it's interesting, and so that you still, in your mind, think that there's probably still, like, some centralized stronghold of government military types somewhere.
But they announced that there's no help coming for anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yes, of course, yeah. For sure.
And I guess I'm still really to the point. I just want to see if at some point during this series, since it deals with the beginning of it, if we're going to find out exactly how this thing spread so fast and how, you know, I guess I'm more so watching it for the logistics, for the information. I'm not, like I said, I'm really not very invested in these characters. So I just want to see what's going to happen. I don't care how things go. Now, I was interested to see how things would go on this island with, you know, that they visited, and to see how things would happen with the people there. But those people were crazy, and I have questions about that. How does the mother come downstairs from telling her kids they're going on a boat ride, and in that span, the child takes the pill, dies, and turns that quickly?
Oh, my God. Like,
I mean...
Don't forget, it is only because Nick, fumbling around in the study, finds the globe way up, cracks open the globe, then finds the drugs inside, hastily re-puts it back together, and sets it back on the cabinet that it was available for the young girl to get.
But how do we know that they didn't already know it was there? The little boy said something about the pills when he showed Nick his room. He said something about the pills and about how, as long as his family stays together and they take their pills, they'll be happy. That's when Nick started being like,
but that doesn't make sense, because that implies, like, as long as you take your pills, like you're taking allergy pills,
a regular pill.
Yeah,
right.
Like it sounded like if you were taking a regular vitamin, then they
it
would
seemed
be.
Well, imply yes. that he
oh,
would.
That,
be.
That, and see, I took it the way Nick took it. It didn't come out like that. He said, I have my pills as long as our family stays together and we take the pill. It sounds to me like, okay, there was a plan there for them all to do this together. That's how I heard.
Wow.
No, I got it like it was Popeye's spinach. Like it was something that he was taking, that it was a magic pill that he thought protected him. Because I thought maybe it was like some kind of asthma medicine, or, you know, he was at some other kind of illness or whatever. I was under the impression that it was a pill that he was already taking on a regular that was giving him the strength to keep his family together. Why would you have a pill to keep your family together that you have never taken? I don't understand why that would have been.
That's how I totally heard it, so.
Yeah, well, that's weird. I'm glad you did. Somebody heard something right or something. I don't know. So, I mean, I understand what Hanako is saying about how it is interesting to see how this group is a little bit naive at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, because they don't really know the extent. They're being neighborly and they don't know how bad people are. But, like, I think it's just really stupid even still that they're, like, freaking on the boat with Strand. They have limited supplies, but everybody the first group of people they see waving like they're on the Wrath of Medusa painting or something like that. And they're just, oh, we need need to help these people. It's no way that they can help those people. But then they see a shipwreck after they go swimming, and they want to help those people. And then Alicia wants to help these radio people. And, you know, he sounded like, oh, well, we're coming to bomb you and take your shit anyway. So we know what's going to happen. And
well, we've got a desalinator, unlimited power, $8 million boat.
Wine.
Oh, you want the last four digits of my social security number? Okay, here it is.
My dog's name, my childhood dog's name was Spy, and my first grade teacher name was Miss Anderson. Like, what is happening right now? You know that there's people in the boat, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to keep fumbling around in this show, and they're going to make those people come at the air quote finale, and that's going to be the big thing. And not one of those people are going to die this season. Hey,
All I know is that what was more annoying for me was the penultimate episode of The Walking Dead season 6, the one before the last, when all our very experienced people run off and go all over the place. I'm just saying, perspective here. That's all I'm saying.
We already went through how stupid we thought.
I'm just saying, so these people should be cut some type of slack.
Kat, did you see the promo for next week for Fear?
I think so.
Okay, so apparently what's going to happen next week is we're going to find the survivors or the people who were on Flight 462. They crashed in the water.
Web series. The web series.
Yeah. Yes. They're gonna come across whoever the Asian chick is, who was, I guess she's like an agent or somehow she knows about all of this, but she survived. She finds them, and they also find the wreck.
So it's gonna be lost. I saw
part of the preview where Chris actually finds the wreckage of the plane. I guess they landed in the desert near the water or something, and he actually goes onto the plane and he sees a lot of the dead, and they're still strapped in their seats. And then she comes running. She comes running. She sees, I think it was Diego, and she said, "Run, they're coming." And then all of a sudden you see all these dead passengers coming over. So yeah, there is going to be, we are going to see that Flight 462 and this cast come together, and I don't know how they're going to do that, but yeah, because
spoiler alert, I wasn't paying that much to the preview.
Yeah, so how do you even say you enjoy this show? You don't pay. I've noticed you haven't paid attention to a lot of things, then you claim that this is your favorite show. You miss a lot of things.
I intentionally try not to pay attention to the previews,
dude,
because I will be more surprised next week.
I do the same thing, actually.
But I'm the crazy one, so cast.
Let's just stick with what's wrong with this episode, shall we? Okay, I mean, in terms of the story arc, we got Nick jumping into the water, first checking in on Chris, who apparently just wanted to go for a dip.
I'm just agreeing.
Okay. I'm letting that go. He's done his little ballet, water ballet with the first zombie, and then he sees the ghost ship appearing in the distance and decides that he wants to go swim over there and investigate. Now, he's already seen one zombie, so he goes swimming over there. Now, we recognize that they're low. I mean, they've got a reasonable amount of supplies, but more supplies would help. Okay, they're now exploring and trying to find radios and food and stuff like that. So he swims over into the ghost ship, pops up underneath the overturned thing. Floating around him is coffee and sugar and all kinds of things, all the stuff in it. What is it that he grabbed? No, this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying things are convenient. What evidence did we have previously that Nick is interested in sea marrying or seafaring and map making? He's in a whole freaking boat.
The floaty boat, he knew how to drive that one. The motor boat, he knew how to drive that. With one hand.
I'm not impressed. I didn't think that I'm just going to say that out of all of the stuff that he saw in that boat right there, the overturned boat, the one thing he goes for is the floating log. Why? I mean, sure, later on, it becomes very important. Hint, hint. You know, because everything that Nick does later on becomes very important.
So miserable.
But that's, I mean, can't you spread that mess around? Does it always have to be Nick and his drug spidey sense ferreting out the next
Preach. I love it.
But you know what?
It's horrible. It's such a miserable show.
He's the coolest character. He's the coolest character.
I actually
he's the Rick Grimes of this show, and he's so much more interesting than Rick Grimes. He's way more interesting than Rick Grimes, though.
Stop this insanity.
Really?
You are a
what insanity?
It is.
Nick is no Rick Grimes. Just stop this.
No. He is not Rick Grimes, and first of all, that's a plus. But number two,
that's
Rick Grimes of the show in that. He is the primary show that it basically revolves around him, just like The Walking Dead revolves around Rick Grimes. Nick is totally that character. And as I said, so much more more interesting to me than Rick Grimes was, especially this early in the game.
Because he does drugs?
Yeah.
No, because of his intuition and spidey sense, street smarts. Because like Rick didn't really have, Rick had police smarts, which is a thing, but Nick has like street smarts, and it's so much more interesting to watch.
It's not true, man, because Nick is always doing the wrong thing. At least Rick was making some progress. Each thing that Rick did, he was reacting appropriately to his surroundings.
Yes, you know, I understand that. But
and as he was progressing, I mean, look, he's assembling like the superhero team of the apocalypse. That is a plan. All right, what's Nick doing?
No, I understand, and that's fine. Although. Yeah, Rick on the TV show has completely screwed everything up. But I'm not saying that there are clones or anything. I'm not saying that Nick is going to assemble anything. I'm just saying that this show revolves around him, and I find him a much more interesting character.
He's
the most interesting character in this cast. And I will say this. Because of the fact that his character is a drug addict and because he has that history, I think he's just more aware.
Yes.
He pays more attention to things because when you're a drug addict and when you're used to stealing and lying and all this other stuff, you're like naturally paranoid. And I think that paranoia from him has helped with the rest of the group. Because if you think about it, Travis, Maddie, Alicia, none of them were paying attention to any of the signs that were being given to them when this whole thing went down. Yeah. Maddie had a student come and tell her about what was going on. Travis saw the things that were going on, and they still didn't believe it. Nick is the one that kind of made them open their eyes.
That's absolutely true. Because, I mean, we were going through like 4 or 5 episodes before anybody even saw a zombie in the first part of the series.
Trying to tell him from the get-go.
Not only is Nick my favorite character on this show, he may be fast becoming my favorite character on both shows.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's because... because you guys have your different favorites from The Walking Dead, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But see, because our main characters on The Walking Dead have been kind of ridiculous for a while now, that's why I've kind of like lost my love for most of them. Because on The Walking Dead right now, the TV show, probably my favorite character would probably be Jesus or something, but that's because he's newer and not as ridiculous as everybody else. So that's why for me, it only makes sense.
His lace front annoys me. So.
Wait, what?
Hanukkah laughed. That was my Anyway, I'm just, you and Hanukkah are a special breed of people. And I applaud you.
I'm not saying Fear is like my favorite show or anything.
I think you said that.
You can't be straddling both sides.
No.
It's a zombie romp and blah blah.
Gosh, let me finish what I'm saying.
Zombie romp is not funny.
I'm not saying it's my favorite show out of all the shows I watch, but it's definitely like of all the shows I watch, the one that at least so far, especially in the last 4 episodes. It's been like the funnest for me to watch, and I'm like looking forward to it still. Seriously? And I still feel like they're still ramping up. Like I don't know, but I what the release schedule is going to be, but I don't know. Are they going to do like 16 episodes or 10 episodes or 13? Is it going to be like a whole season?
Because I don't want to watch any more than that.
I don't think it's going to be eight.
Be a full season if I'm not.
Yes, but I mean, but are they going to play the full season? You know what I mean? Like, let's pretend it's 13 episodes. Is it going to be 13 weeks in a row? Or are they going to break it up? I think they're going to play it all through the summer, I think.
Here, let me Google that for you.
Yeah, this late in TV schedule land, they usually play, if it starts now, they usually play it straight through.
Right. So, I mean, this is good stuff. This is good stuff.
I mean, my other concern is very much like what Kat was saying, where I'm trying to watch it for the reasons that Hanako is talking about, in terms of you trying to find out more of the background story and trying to figure out the
lecture. Found out a lot more.
Well, the problem is it's taken too darn long for it to happen, because I mean, no. I'm just saying, when you are watching Fear the Walking Dead, you get in each, how long is each episode? 45 minutes? In each 45-minute episode.
Like 2 hours.
And I'm just, no, for each 45, let's say they're 45 minutes. Out of each 45-minute episode, you get about 30 minutes of background of the characters that is not interesting. All right, so you're delving all into what the family was doing, why they're thinking about somebody else, why somebody said something to somebody else. Okay, then you get about 5 minutes of fighting amongst family members, just random ones. It's father, son, mother, daughter, sister, brother. Another 5 minutes of fighting there. Then you get, you know, maybe about 3 minutes of zombie history context in terms of, you know, this breaking news, the zombies have spread. And, you know, that's not, and I'm really wanting to hear. I'm trying to listen around all the other stuff to figure out, where, you know, what's going on, what's the military doing. You get about 3 minutes of that. Then there's a zombie appearance, you know, prompted by something dumb that someone has done, obviously. And, you know, they fall on the zombie eats a non-essential character. And then, you know, there's a lot of running. And then there is plaintive thought. You know, you're floating on the water looking at the stars. You're sitting on the boat looking at the
water. I love that part.
You're sitting in the lighthouse looking.
I love that part.
This is some bullshit.
I love that part right there. Okay, well, look.
This Carl's cursed.
Look, Walking Dead, the main show, is six seasons in, and of that part you're talking about, Carl, where we start getting some of the backstory.
In the Walking Dead
main show, we've basically got one episode and a cold open of another episode. We got the CDC episode, and then we got the cold open where it shows the flashback of Lori outside of Atlanta, and that's about it.
No, but what was going on in each of the episodes? At least we were building toward a story that made sense. I mean, in terms of figuring out who Rick Grimes was, who his buddy was, the fellow cop, what the background of their love story was, in terms of and what further propelled that kind of background storytelling is layered on top of that was the newness of the zombie experience.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Back in the day when that mess was happening, we had never seen anything like that before. Now, I understand that you cannot bring that same novelty in because we're all jaded. We've been watching Walking Dead for years, and the writers ought to know that, right? So I expected that when they came up with Fear the Walking Dead, that they were going to do something dramatically different to either reintroduce us to the zombies, to show us something new about the zombie experience, to make viewing the zombie experience through these new characters' eyes something that was new and exciting, something that brought back some of that mystery. These are qualified, intelligent, quality writers. They could have done that. No, they made it like some bad episode of Family Ties, you know, and they're telling you drug mess going on, and it took forever for the actual zombies to ever do anything in the original series. So, I mean, excuse me, in the original season of Fear the Walking Dead, it just felt, you know, all the elements just seem to be scattered all over the place. While in the beginning with original Walking Dead, it was crisp. It was a strong core story. The way that we were introduced to the characters, the backgrounds of the characters made sense because we found out about Shane. We found out about Rick's wife. I mean, all of that mess came back right away. That's not happening with Fear the Walking Dead. It just feels kind of there's no direction. Here's the other thing, and you know, I know Erica's a big fan of dramatic imagery. He likes that. I really like story. Okay, I like mess to make sense and stuff to happen and sort of go in a sequential direction. But it seems like they're always trading off story and storytelling and direction for pain or a dramatic visual of some kind. it's always just this moment of people looking off in the horizon while things are burning all around them and no acknowledging of what that meant. It's in all the characters' angst is inside, and we're just supposed to resonate with that as viewers. And it has no bearing on anything else that happens in the story. It's just, oh, we're looking off into the distance and suffering together. Isn't this great? That ain't a romp. I'm sorry, not a romp.
Oh, my God. And Hanako just got done with us and hung up.
She can't take it. She can't take it. You can't take the heat. Get off the boat.
You know, just about an hour ago, I read a little article online where they were saying, could there be a third zombie show for AMC?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like because this was supposed to be the show, Fear the Walking Dead was supposed to be the show where they took liberties, right? And they took chances, and it was supposed to be like this wild whatever, like they had freedom. If this is what freedom looks like, I don't want to
what
be
are
free.
I don't think that you two are representing, like, I know you're representing a part of how people, like a faction of how people are reacting to the show, but I know you're not representing the whole, because I know there are other people who are not necessarily like me, but who like it because this is cool to see what happens when you get on a boat, to see what happens when you get on an island. I'm interested in this, and I'm interested to see how it goes. It's Katrina Island, for goodness sakes.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
What? I'm just saying. When you tell me to shut up, you're telling, like, millions of other people to shut up.
Because they are wrong. And right now, I know that there's a lot of people saying they like this show, but they're listening to us right now, and they're not really liking it. They're only telling you that they're liking it because they want to be part of the crowd. No. They want to be
part of the crowd.
They want to be part of the crowd, and they don't watch anything else. They don't have any experience.
Yeah, I don't watch anything else, and I'm doing this to be part of the zeitgeist.
Now, Eric, there is a reason that you are labeled the contrarian. Okay, now I'm not going to disagree with
what you said.
I'm not going to disagree with the fact that Kat and I do not speak for all viewers of Fear the Walking Dead and Walking the Dead. I will proudly say that I understand that. I'm just going to say that we have a slightly larger representation of folks who are going to look at these two series. And independent of the fact that we have a strong history with Walking Dead already, I'm thinking the majority of the folks are going to say they recognize that there is a difference in storytelling between these two series, and that perhaps they're a little more comfortable with what Walking Dead is doing than Fear the Walking Dead. There are plenty of people who think it's a fine show, and you know, and some, you know, the edges, pieces of it, I do find the environments more interesting. You know, they're not on a barn, not on a farm.
That's another thing, by the way. If we talk about The Walking Dead, the original show, as much as I think the original first premiere episode is a stroke of artistic genius, but that aside, I didn't consider The Walking Dead, like, for myself, like, essential viewing or...
Of course not, because you are not 8 million other people who have. You represent the majority of people.
I didn't get that feeling in The Walking Dead until around season 3. And that's when it started to seem like, oh, okay, now this show is really coming together.
Dude,
now
if we had really waited on folks like you, the show would have been canceled.
Don't act like everyone wasn't wanting to jump ship during the farm. Don't act like that didn't happen.
Okay, Eric, now not only that, I agree with you, but quit interrupting me while I'm trying to agree with you, okay? I'm trying to make some points here that's going to try to bring this back together, but you won't be... All right, so what I'm saying is there are a lot of elements about the show that are a little bit more interesting. Now, I find Strand and what's the old guy's name?
Diego.
I find Diego and Strand, I actually find them to be very interesting people and interesting characters. When Fear the Walking Dead was rolling along, I was annoyed with the characters really for the first couple of episodes. And then about the time when, you know, for some reason they decided to hide in a barber shop, they run into and stay overnight when they ran into Diego right away, I was like, this dude's got some secrets. You know, I found he was an interesting character, and he started bringing some rationality to the Looney Tunes direction that all the other characters that he had done. He was like, you people are fools. You need to start thinking a little more practically. I thought that was interesting. What Strand brings to the series, also that sort of psychotic kind of coolness. I mean, you guys are saying that a lot of the stuff that the characters, the decisions that the characters are making, are based upon an emotional response to things, and that was annoying me to no freaking end. Following the drugs, and oh, my boyfriend, and oh, is that my neighbor at the back door? You know, all of that was just driving me crazy. But then you got Strand rolling in. The man's got a Rolex, he's got a suit. There was a coolness about his character that was, again, starting to bring a little bit of sanity to what was going on. Or if not necessarily sanity, just a new take that was organized. You know, there's been too much of this scattering and flailing around for no good reason. At least Strand has a plan. At least Diego's got some sort of a survival backbone that's trying to keep family or keep people. So that is something that I thought was kind of watchable and different about Fear the Walking Dead. But man, those parts are so few and far between, and it's just scattered over so much larger stuff that it's hard. And you know, and again, like Hanako, I thought that I was going to be watching Fear the Walking Dead to learn more about the background of the virus and what, but we're on a freaking boat. We've completely left the shore. We don't see the city. The city's firebombed, which is conveniently removing all of the history that I was curious about. I mean, it's not likely they're going to run into some kind of a science vessel out there with doctors on it. That, you know, oh,
or
we found
will they? The
Jeez. You know, then we become the ship, and that's a whole different show. You know, that's all.
It reminds me of that a lot right now.
So, well, they haven't found anything yet. So, no, not yet. But so I, you know, the environments I've and the twist that Strand had the ship, just that twist. That is what drew me in to this second season. I was like, okay, well, Strand's taking a serious role. He's got a freaking boat. This is going to be really, really interesting. But they're still making these.
You
really
know what's going to happen?
They're
going to take his boat and they're going to kill a black guy. And then what are we going to be watching?
Well, that probably not until, like you said, until the absolute end of this. And he won't go. He's not going to die because they're going to save it right until the end when the other boat shows up. And then that'll be the cliffhanger to the next season. We're just going to watch pain and
so
flailing around.
Miserable right
and
now.
Jonestown everywhere they go.
Oh, my God.
And Nick killing everybody accidentally everywhere they go. Basically, Nick is like the Captain Kirk of the Strand ship. It's like everywhere he goes. You
that's
know,
why
you,
I love him.
Yeah, that's what it is. You got in background. You got Diego going. You know, we can't interfere with the society of this planet. And it's like I'm looking for drugs. Woo! Where's the party at? And everybody's gonna die when they leave. They're just gonna the slow motion walk as the boat sails away and just mess blowing up in the background everywhere they go.
Oh,
they
miserable.
Are gonna just blow mess up.
Miserable.
So we
are split 50-50 on the enjoyment and annoyance of this show.
Just, you know, normally no one has Eric's back. So Hanako, you are doing a service
I
here.
Oh wow, that is
doing
crazy.
Fine service to help you out the side.
You're finally on the right side.
He's always on his own with the tumbleweed, just hanging out in the back room. Like, you guys are crazy. I'm out. Hanako, come on now. Okay, so we've been talking. Yeah, help him out now. He's had his say.
We're so spirited right now, Carl.
Hanako left for a while. Come on now. You got to help him out. Help out your guy.
I mean, this show still has my interest, so I just,
hell yes.
I'm just simply asking why. Just give me why.
Because I'm more so interested in the actual story. I'm interested in the Captain Trips part of the story. Like, how did this start? How fast did it spread? Like, I want to see how Los Angeles and Atlanta connects in the middle. You know, because you've got two different things happening on complete opposite sides of the country. So it's kind of like one of those things. And according to what we learned in, what was it, season two of The Walking Dead, or was it season three when they went to the CDC? Whatever it is that's season causing one. This. Oh, okay. Was that season? Okay.
It was the last episode of season one.
Right.
Wow, that's so a lot of stuff happening.
What we found out then was that whatever it is that causes this zombiness, this reanimation, it's in everybody. Okay, how does it get into everybody in this short time span? Because prior to when this all started, a couple of weeks, you know, on the Fear of the Walking Dead timeline, nobody else was dying and coming to life. So what was the catalyst? What was it that brought us to this point? That's what's keeping me.
Fine, and we're done.
But you know, that's what's keeping me interested in Fear. Just trying to find out where that middle ground is. What that cause was. Right now, I really don't care too much about the characters. Now, I'm one of those when I'm watching, I'm like, oh no, don't do this or whatever, because I don't want to see any characters die. Any ones that do. I've been watching, but you know, it's just kind
of
like,
who wants to die, Kat?
She wants everyone to die. She doesn't like anyone.
Boring.
All of
boring.
Them should die, especially Nick. All of them, because we need a refresh, because these characters are terrible.
I think many of them are going to die eventually.
Like Nick. I like Diego. I'm not a fan of Maddie at all. I'm not a fan of Travis. We should play
bets on who we think is going to die next from the main cast.
I don't think there should be the main cast. I think they all should be cycled out. I need to write
take bets on who's going to be the next main cast member.
You want to take bets? Okay, that'll work, because there's an easy way to do this.
Strange.
The people that I find the most interesting, guarantee they're going to go. Guarantee they're going to go. So if it was truly in order of people that I find most interesting, I would say Strand would go first, then Diego, possibly them at the same time. Then we would probably lose, let me see. Wait, who did I say? I'm sorry. Strand
or Diego.
Strand or Diego. Then we probably lose Alicia. Alicia, just because you got to tug at the heartstrings a little bit there. I don't think
we're gonna lose her.
No, I don't either. No, but see, I'm going in the order of the characters that I find the most interesting. And so, just in this arc, this is the way it would go. This is not gonna happen, because they're only gonna get rid of the two most interesting characters. But you know, if we were going down the line, this is probably so. Yeah, it'd be Strand. It would be Diego. It would be Alicia, and then it would probably be Travis, in that order. Because I agree, Nick is the star, quote, star of the show. Nothing's going to happen to Nick ever. Nothing is ever going to happen.
Probably not, unless somebody else, like a newly created character, somehow excelled in some exceptional way.
Nope.
It definitely feels like Strand and Diego both have a target on them, because both can't really mutually exist on the show for too long. And I don't know which one's going to get it first, but if it's Strand, it definitely seems like there would be some cop-out where maybe he gets maimed and gets away and then comes back to haunt us another day. I fear that it could go that way, but I don't know if it really would with Strand.
That would be interesting,
but then it starts turning into Governor 2.0 and all that. So who knows? But certainly those guys, you would think one of them is likely going to be killed off. And then everyone else besides Nick, who knows? It really could be anyone. It's really hard to figure out, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so Hanukkah, do you feel like you're getting the backstory, though? Because I hear what you're asking for.
She ain't getting the damn backstory.
Well, no, we haven't gotten it yet, but I feel like it's going to get there. I do agree with Kat in the fact that I think they're taking too long to actually get us to the story. I don't know. I wish they could kind of speed it up a little bit. But I don't know, given the way that
I don't know how they would get to the answers that you're talking about.
Right, exactly. That's,
because I am curious and I'm interested in those things as well. But again, none of these people are scientists on this boat. And I don't see how.
Well, here's the thing. We don't know what Strand is. We know he's a millionaire, but we don't know anything about him, how he became a millionaire.
I thought he was in real estate.
Well, I don't think we know that for sure, though, because now it's becoming a lot more dubious.
Yeah, I mean, he's got connections in Mexico, so
exactly.
Well,
we're not really sure if it really is his boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I guess Diego kind of brought that question in the air. So I don't know. Maybe it's not his boat. Maybe it's whoever it is he's talking to on the phone. Maybe it's that person's boat. You know, but we don't know why. You know, I don't know if we even know what his motivation is. Like, why did he all of a sudden befriend Nick, you know,
it is implied that there are he sees some of it. It behooves him with keeping certain people around. You know, he's kind of expressed that Nick was worth something, that Diego was worth something, you know. Well,
and if we were to make the distant leap to assume that Strand might be involved with illegal narcotics, I know this is a stretch, but if that were the case, it seems as if he would be able to recognize people who were also from that culture in terms of people he was dealing with. I'm pretty sure that he saw something familiar in Nick as a potential user. I'm pretty sure he saw something familiar in Diego as a fellow businessman. So I'm just saying that there was right away some camaraderie going on. So
interesting. I like these questions.
Oh my god!
I'm so looking forward to this series right now. I mean, what are you looking forward more to? What is it called, Wayward Pines, or what this summer?
Well, the question is it there something better on? It's just, I want this to be good.
Thank you, Carl.
So my point is, though, that we watch a lot of shows that potentially aren't as good. Well, and that's fine.
Well,
at least Wayward Pines isn't boring me to death.
I'm not bored.
I am. They're taking too long. I need some answers now. I want it to
not feel
stupid.
They're going
almost
as fast as the answers.
What answers? What have they answered?
They haven't given us full-on answers, but they've given us a lot of context.
Any answers by that, you mean?
We've already gotten so much more context of the zombie apocalypse, so much more than we ever got in The Walking Dead, already up to this point, 8 episodes in, I keep stressing. We've already gotten leagues more than The Walking Dead.
Where? What are you talking about? Like, what have we learned? Well,
first of all, everything in the city that already happened.
You mean that there were zombies in the city?
No. Everything with the army and what the army was doing and, like, trying to, like, put people into different cells in the city. And then the firebombing. And then the whole idea with the coast. Like, what? We didn't know any of that. That is all new.
Does that enhance my story, though?
I'm not saying that it's enhancing your story. I'm just saying this is tons more background than we ever got in The Walking Dead. And no one was ever complaining in The Walking Dead.
Because it was
fine.
More interesting.
I'm just saying that in 8 episodes, they've given us tons more than we ever got, but you guys aren't happy. That's all
because
I'm saying.
We've seen this
I'm not saying it's enough. I'm not saying it's
Okay, so but when you're saying tons more,
because there's more stuff. Dead, because no, stuff that pertains to what we've been talking about, what Hanako was talking about the backstory of this zombie apocalypse. We got virtually zero in six seasons of The Walking Dead.
But the story was compelling that we did not.
That's fine. I'll give you that. You got more compelling story.
Boom.
I'm just saying on this point that you guys are. We need more. We need more. And all I'm saying is we've gotten tons so far, and I'm sure we'll get more. Okay, fine, if it's not as compelling for you. But I'm just saying they're delivering plenty more than we've ever got.
All right. So when I say more, I mean there's when I say more, I'm really I'm trying to find out more about the zombies, not necessarily the military response to them. Or the panic caused in the cities. I'm trying to learn more about the disease. I'm trying to learn more about what caused the zombies.
Okay. That we certainly haven't gotten much. And
that's what we meant.
I'm not really sure yet. I mean, just in my mind, trying to think what they're going to do, meaning the producers of the show. I'm curious myself if they're going to reveal a lot more about that or not. Like, it seems to me it could go either way at this point.
Okay, well, that's, you know, we're talking about wanting more. That is kind of what we're talking about. Because the balance is, when you have not seen the zombies before, when you're brand new and exposed to the series, then the trickling of information and building the world through the perception of just one guy's eyes, who was Rick Grimes, and his experience, that's one way to go about doing it. That's one way. Okay. But since we have been through that, we've had seasons of that, and we know that story. If they're taking us in a new way, I mean, they're reintroducing us to the zombies, they're trying to show us, quote, new stuff, then that is what I'm talking about when I said that I expected something more in this in the beginning of Fear of the Walking Dead. That is what I thought we were going to learn more about the disease, more about... You know, how it was spread, not necessarily the military's response or the city people's response to it. I'm talking about, I want to know what happened. We still don't know what caused this. What's going on with this disease? And Hanako's question about how in the world everybody became instantaneously infected, everyone is infected with it now, that's a good question too. I'd like to know that as well. I see no evidence that we're going to get answers to that in Fear the Walking Dead.
And I agree. And that's not what I don't need this show, because if it's just going to be week after week of this family ties with zombies on
drugs
water.
And zombies.
Yeah. And I just like, I don't care enough about the genre just to see a horror TV show every week. I want to, like you said, I want more answers. I want it to be more significant. We've already seen dynamic with people, you know, person to person dynamics and how to exist in the zombie apocalypse in The Walking Dead. We don't need more of the same. We want something that's wildly different. We want like Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
I wouldn't say it
Voyager.
Feels wildly different, but it feels very different.
It feels
me.
Oh, it's different.
It's different. Only that because it's on. It has different people. There's a large family, and it's on water. That's the only thing that's really different.
And they don't answer anything on this series. While in Walking Dead, at least they answer some of these questions. Like at the end of season one, at least we'd made a trip to the CDC. At least we'd had some sort of a broader perspective of where the disease came from and what was going on. We don't have that yet.
I don't even think they wanted to go to CDC. I think their whole goal is, let's just see people scrambling around trying to survive with zombies. And you can only do that so many times or so much.
I mean, this is kind of reinforcing the thing that concerns me, is because the first season of The Walking Dead, what I was saying is, it seemed like they had a goal. It seemed like, you know, even seeing the world just through the limited eyes of Rick as he was flailing around and figuring stuff out.
By the
end of that first season, it was, but by the end of the first season, he was trying to figure out, is there a cure? Where are we going to go? Is there a place that we can go to get free of this? Is all of that stuff was everybody who was watching was wondering that same kind of stuff. And they were asking the same kind of questions. And little by little, Rick's experience with the world was unveiling that to the audience. These same questions if we started again with Fear the Walking Dead, I don't see anybody answering any questions. I don't see Nick's interactions with the world telling us anything about the disease. We're learning about Nick. We're learning about what problems he's got with his family and that kind of stuff that's going on. But you know, it is like the disease and the zombies are superfluous. They are, you know, tertiary to what is going on in The Walking Dead. And that's strange, I think, for a zombie series. You know, I think that's a little unusual. So, yes, there is a decidedly different feel between Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead, no doubt. But I'm not sure it is a good difference. I'm not sure it's a good one.
I'm with you.
Well, y'all should get married.
Snappy comeback, sir. I am not done.
That's all you can say. Jeez.
Hey, I'm in Happy Town. I just, you know, this is my, I guess, my third show of shows that I actually watch live, you know, and so that says something in and of itself.
Fine. I don't even know if I feel better or like I've purged all of it of my anger.
It was damn enjoyable. It was enjoyable.
I think releasing all of my frustration with this is, you know, whatever. Well, I guess we'll keep covering it because Hanako and Eric are going to keep talking to us about it.
Like I said, I want to get to the whys and the hows. And
you know you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that.
I can hope.
No, okay. So, like, I'm telling you, like, right now, what if they don't give that and they, like, go on the Talking Dead.
Continue to tell the story the way they have.
Yeah, like, what if they say that, yeah, no, we're never going to answer that question. This is the story. This is it. Then what?
Then I probably will get bored. I mean, because one thing about, you know, that I do agree with you guys, I'm ready to see new people. And it's like we're getting new people in small dosages and then they're gone. I mean, it would have been really interesting to see how the crew would have, you know, fared with a child on board. That would have been interesting.
No.
It would have been something. Well, I'm saying it would have been something different. It would have been something a little more. A child would have made things a little more interesting as far as trying to figure out how to keep this child, you know, quiet. I mean, that's
We've
one of
seen
the
that
things
on the Walking
we all.
Dead, though.
Yeah, but you know what? It's different because Judith is still at an age where people still have to carry her around. She's not walking. She's not, you know, getting into things. She's not accidentally opening up the front door and taking a, you know,
That's what Carl was doing season one. But that's another story.
You know what? I'm glad because no. I think a baby would really, or a toddler would really just, that would push me. I wouldn't watch it anymore. I tell you and Eric to take your show and stick it.
it doesn't need
a baby.
I mean, again, when you're watching the story and you see the direction that the story is going, and I'm asking, you know, what is the worst possible thing that they could do? What is the dumbest thing that they could do? And it keeps happening. All right, in this scenario, they come to this island. What is the worst possible thing you could try and demand from people living on that island? I mean, seriously, you just roll up there, and I'm sitting there going, oh, they're going to want food? They're going to try to steal the radio? I mean, what's the worst possible thing that you could try and take off that island would be their children. There's just no good solution where that's going to just smooth right where they're like, well, have fun, kids. No, there's nothing about that.
She can't even take care of her own kids properly. Why is she trying to take other people's kids?
About that would have been a good. Oh. So when that happened, I mean, I'm just watching because I was thinking, well, okay, oh, Nick's going to get back on the drugs. That's bad. No, they went one word. We're here for your children, crazy gunman. We're going to take your kids away off into the sea, and we're going to leave you here alone with your wife who's dying. No, it just, I mean, you don't
feel. That makes no sense.
You don't feel the convenience of it. You don't feel how forced that feels in the story. It's just that's part of what's bothering me. You know what?
Keep waving at the boat, little Timmy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And
I wanted to be murdered.
Of course the little girl was singing Ring Around the Rosie. Oh, 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 come on.
She's the tiptoe through the tulips.
Oh my God, Carlos is like, oh, because of this infectious disease, we're going to just ring around the rosy because it was,
What's wrong with that? What?
Because it's miserable. It's been done so many times.
Yes. I didn't know that.
Jesus Christ, Eric.
That's been done to death?
Yes.
Oh, my. Literally to death. It has been done to death.
I didn't know. I liked that bit. I liked that bit.
I don't think he's experienced with TV at all because
outbreaks.
Carl,
maybe he hasn't seen outbreak movies and stuff enough.
I know, maybe not, because I was just like, I forgot about that, Carl. You brought it back up, and I just felt the pain. Right,
I haven't seen Outbreak.
Woo! Oh,
should I watch Outbreak?
Well, I don't know. You probably won't like it.
No, he'll probably. You never know. Whatever normal people think, he's going to think the opposite.
Outbreak was a popular movie.
I've heard of it.
Yes, I know.
Whatever.
You haven't seen it? That is the one with like Morgan Freeman, Dustin Hoffman, and Rene Russo. And you haven't seen that?
No, I haven't seen it. Oh, I was busy when that movie came out.
Busy, okay.
And you haven't had time to watch it.
Well, I've never been into it. I've had time, but I've never had. No, but I'm not into the plague movies and all that kind of stuff.
Well, this is That's probably why you haven't heard.
Just like AMC is like promoting their Contagion or whatever show. I'm not really.
Containment, CW.
Yeah. That's CW? Yeah. Oh, I guess. Yeah, it is. But whatever, I'm not into that.
Well, that's why you don't know Ring Around the Roses has been done to death.
I didn't know it was done to death.
It has. In fact, this show is miserable, Eric. That's what we've been trying to tell you.
It's one of the show that brings in one of the better ratings on AMC.
Yeah, that people are dead. There doesn't mean they're right. I mean, ratings for Americans.
Take that, listeners. Yeah. Take it from Kat and Carl.
Yeah, thank you, because we know what we're talking straight. About.
If you want to take it from Kat and Carl.
And I'm the contrarian.
You are
I will simply say that it is possible, although you know this might be a contrary view, that the reason the ratings are so high on this is because it comes on the tail end of the expectations of The Walking Dead. And as the series progresses, if things don't change, those ratings are going to start going down. I'm just going to put that out there. Now, it is possible that the audience could maintain the exact same heights and continue to crescendo 6-7 years into it like Walking Dead has.
Oh, God.
But I am going to go out on a limb once again and take the quote contrarian point of view and say if things don't start changing on this series, I do not believe it is going to be able to maintain the same audience that Walking Dead has.
It's been changing and it will continue to change more, the Fear of the Walking Dead show.
You know what?
Again, it changed much quicker in 8 episodes than The Walking Dead ever did.
Whatever.
But still not good enough for...
Because I'm groundbreaking. It's not groundbreaking.
Carl are the voice of the people.
I keep asking very specific questions, and you always dodge it when I answer them. You know,
I'll say
this is the issue, and you'll go, "Yeah, but the source."
And I say it's been changing so quickly already, and I don't think it'll stop changing.
Yeah, but not changing in interesting ways. It's changing, but not in
interesting ways.
Carl, but it's interesting for me.
That's because you're not experienced enough to know the difference.
Leave the man alone. I'm not saying he's not entitled to his opinion and his personal preference, but I'm just going to say I don't believe it is going to win over the same kind of audience that The Walking Dead has.
This show does not give me a headache like The 100 and plenty of other shows I watch. And so I thank it for that.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, on that, I would have to say I find The 100 way more interesting than Fear.
No, but that's fine. I mean, and that's fair. I'm just saying that I watch other shows currently that cause me a lot more heartache.
A, you're a contrarian, and B, you're a glutton for punishment. So
I do like a certain amount of punishment, but I still don't think I'm a contrarian.
No contrarian would, Eric. I can tell you. I assure you, I am no contrarian.
Hey, virtually every show and movie that I really, really like, they're all backed by Rotten Tomatoes. So I don't know what
Rotten
kind of contrarian I am.
Rotten Tomatoes is not the end all be all.
I'm just saying it's a good barometer. You guys have a better barometer. Point me to it, and I'll see how
Ted
it works.
Carl. Duh.
We'll come back to that later.
I hope everyone's taking notes at home.
Yes, Enterprise is the best of the Star Trek.
I never said that.
I think you did.
No, I didn't.
No, he did. Sure,
he walked to both sides of the street again, but strongly promoted for Enterprise. But
that's another cast. By the way, we do have another podcast. We have a Star Trek podcast, and it's called Star Trek Romulans Bearing Gifts. And we'll put the link up, and it's another show where we randomly pick Star Wars episodes and talk about
Star Trek episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Star Trek episodes. And I don't know why I do that. Why do I do that? That's weird. Anyway, well, we randomly watch Star Trek episodes and we pick them at random. Now, I would suggest you not listening to the first episode because Eric picked Enterprise. So if you don't really want to hear hostility, you know, we can move along to the second episode first, which is a great episode, by the way. So.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for that ringing endorsement, Kat. That'll get everybody racing over. Romulans Bearing Gifts, everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Catch on iTunes now. Leave us a iTunes comment. Those are the best.
Okay, that's enough out of you. Are we done with this Fear the Walking mess?
Oh, we'll be back for the season finale to share.
The season finale.
I hope not because, I think my blood pressure went up.
You were scared.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's our show. We love your feedback. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. You can reach us at scifipartyline on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. End of line.